Yeah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adita Radha Shiva Charito Bhakta Vrinda Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adita Radha Shiva Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Simply by associating with exalted devotees. Okay, can I'll just read the Sanskrit. Tasmanaro Sangha Sranga Jato Gyanathineva Viriksha Moha Parim Tat Iha Kathanu Shatabhyam Dabdasmita Yat Ati Puram Advana. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, one can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge, one can cut to pieces the illusory association within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord via hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam. Thus, one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness, and sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home, back to Godhead, even in this life. Isn't it powerful? You want to repeat after me the translation?
Yes?
Okay, say loudly, yes.
Yes.
Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge. And with the sword of knowledge, can cut to pieces the illusory association within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting Shravanam and Kirtanam. Thus one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness, and sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home back to Godhead even in this life. Purpur by Srila Prabhupada, Purpur by Divine Grace, Hesi Bhakti Dhan Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and boarding so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead even in this life. Om Agyanti Vinandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manoveshtam Sabhitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamlan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Upam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sadve Vajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam Sta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Tanta Hey, Vrindavaneshwari, Ushamam, Trudhane, Kadamami, Vahancha, Kalpa, Tarvyasa, Kipa, Paritundu, Bhavanevyo, Vaishnanevyo, Namunva, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivachari. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. So this was It's from the fifth canto, and it's being spoken by an exalted devotee called Jad Bharat. The background is as follows. You read in the fifth canto, the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. Have you heard of Lord Rishabhdev? Lord Rishabhdev is none else but the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Rishabh in Sanskrit means the best. And Lord Rishabhdev's father was King Nabi, and his mother's name was Meru Devi. So his parents were performing in an elaborate sacrifice, and their goal was to have a son like God. And the Lord was so pleased by the sacrifice. Then the Lord told them, if you want to have a son like me, that's not going to be possible. I'll become your son. And then the Lord appeared as Rishabhdev. Rishabh in Sanskrit means the best. And Lord Rishabhdev's teachings are very nicely there. And he very elaborately explains the importance of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada used to regularly quote Lord Rishabhdev's teachings in his lectures. And Prabhupada very often lectured from his teachings. So Lord Rishabhdev was God. He had 100 sons. And the oldest of the son was named Bharat. So Lord Rishabhdev ruled over the planet. These days you have tiny countries. But at one time you had one emperor for the whole world. And these days even the tiny countries keep breaking up, and you see more and more flags being hoisted in the United Nations. So Lord Rishabhdev was the king of this whole planet. There was one principal king, and there were other subordinate kings who were subservient to the principal king. His son Rishabharat became the king, and King Bharat ruled over the planet so nicely. The citizens were so happy that the whole planet got named after him, and the whole planet was known as Bharatvarsha. Today the Bharat you talk about is a tiny, tiny, tiny speck of what it used to be at one time. Today the Bharat you talk about is just the boundaries of India, isn't it? But you know, at one time, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Burma, Indonesia, they were all parts of Bharat. In Indonesia, the Vedic influence is still very prominent. The national airline of that country is called Garuda Airlines. They don't have a fancy name like they have in India. And the national emblem is a Garuda. The Garuda that sit there in Mayapur project was made in Indonesia. Yeah. So I'm just giving you this example to show that at one time the whole planet was known as Bharatvarsha. Some of you may not believe it, but you can see even in recent history, at least as far as Indonesia, Burma, all these countries had Vedic influence. Anyway, King Bharat ruled over the whole planet. He ruled over it so wonderfully that the citizens were totally satisfied, and this planet got known as Bharatvarsha. The king ruled over the whole planet and then decided now he has to go to practice deep meditation the Vedic processes, at a certain age, renounce your worldly connections and duties and concentrate wholeheartedly on spiritual activities. So he entrusted the management to his son and King Bharat went to the forest. He was practicing meditation in the forest, but in the forest, one day he saw a she-elephant being chased by a he-elephant. No, I'm sorry, a she-deer being chased by a lion. And the deer had to jump over a lake to save her life. But the mother died, releasing her offspring. And King Bharat took care of this offspring, thinking that this was the will of the providence. But unfortunately, he got too attached to that deer. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, there's a chapter, it is called Attaining the Supreme. And in this chapter, Krishna tells us the art of living. And you can turn off your mobile phones, please. and in this chapter, Krishna tells us, because every minute somebody's phone keeps ringing. And in this chapter, Krishna teaches us the art of living and the art of dying. Krishna says, wherever your mind is, at the moment of death, that's the type of body you're going to get. So, Krishna says, with your mind and intelligence dedicated to me, do your duty. So, King Bharat got very attached to this baby deer. If the baby deer would be out of sight even for a minute, the king would get worried. And he was looking after the baby deer like a mother looks after her newborn child. And one day, when the deer was out of vision, he, in anxiety, was searching for the deer, and he died. But he died with his mind focused where? On the deer. Krishna has clearly said, yam yam vapi smaran bhava. Wherever your mind is at the moment of death, that's where you'll go. Therefore, the Vedic advice is, ante narayan smriti. Mold your life in such a way that at the moment of death, you can think of Krishna. But we'll come to this discussion a little later. So, King Bharat, consequently, had to take his birth as a deer because his mind was on the deer at the moment of death. But Krishna also assures us that devotional service never goes in vain, isn't it? So he did not have to stay for long in the body of a deer, and he soon took birth in a Brahmana's family, in which he was known as Jad Bharat. Now, they say, once born, twice shy. You heard that famous English phrase, once somebody cheated you, you be careful twice. So Jad Bharat could remember, Jad Bharat could remember that because of his having developed this excessive attachment to the deer, he had to take his birth as a deer. So he resolved to himself that he would not get entangled anymore. So he was behaving in society as if he was deaf and dumb. And he was not deaf and dumb, but that was his behavior. He had stepbrothers, he had a stepmother, his mother passed away. And it's a wonderful explanation in the Bhagavatam about Jad Bharat. So then Jat Bharat was pretending in society as if he was deaf and dumb. But actually, he was not deaf and dumb. He just did not want to get entangled again in anything material so that he would get distracted from the auspicious path of devotional service. He was determined, come what may, I am not going to get distracted from the spiritual path. This is the determination that we all need if we want to pursue spiritual life. Rupa Goswami has explained, Utsaha Nishaya Dharaya Tattva Karma Pravartana Sangatyagya Satavrita Sadvir Bhakti Prasidati, that in order to make spiritual progress, we need determination. Now, even in our day-to-day lives, we need determination, isn't it? Let's say you're a materialist, you're doing a karmic job. You need the determination to succeed. Students these days really have to get to struggle to get admission in good schools. It's not so bad in Mauritius, but in countries like India, if you want admission in a good school, you literally have to slog it out. Work for years and years, and then you can hope to get some admission somewhere. So, but they have determination, so they work hard. So you need determination in all phases of life, even if you want to succeed materially, or you need want to succeed spiritually. And Rupa Goswami explains to us, by the practice of bhajana kriya, this nishtha, or determination to serve the Lord, develops. So Jat Bharat was absorbed in meditating on the Lord all the time. And people in society would ridicule him, make fun of him, chastise him, hey, look at that deaf madman. But he did not get distracted. One day, King Rahugana was being carried in a palanquin. King Rahugana was a God-conscious king, unlike the present-day leaders. And he was headed for hearing a spiritual discourse. And he was going to a place in Kurukshetra. When you go on a pilgrimage in Kurukshetra, he was going actually to hear discourses of Lord Kapila. So, Jat Bharat was headed for a spiritual mission and he was being carried in a palanquin. These days you want to go somewhere, you drive your car. Huh? So there were no automobiles at that time. They had a palanquin. And the palanquin was being carried by palanquin carriers. The king was getting late. He said, hey, come over there, all right. I'm getting late. Go fast. So the palanquin carriers started going fast, but they were not fast enough for the king. Then they saw a very handsome, stout, well-built man. He said, hey, come help carry the king. So the stout man had no choice. The king was being carried, and this man that was added to the team was a Brahmana. Brahmana means who doesn't want to harm anyone, even an ant. That's the nature of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava doesn't want to harm even an ant. People today are so cruel. They slaughter without hesitation one of our mothers, seven mothers. The cow is one of our seven mothers. And the cow that should be protected is unfortunately sent to slaughterhouses. But the Vaishnava is, he doesn't want to harm even in that. So Jat Bharat was asked, he was asked to carry the palanquin of the king. He agreed, but he would not keep his feet on the ground till he made sure that there was no living entity on the ground. And this greatly frustrated the other palanquin carriers. They say, hey, we're getting late, come on, what's this? And the king had Kshatriya characteristics. He was a king, God conscious. He was headed to hear discourses by Lord Kapila. But he had a passionate side to his personality. And he saw that this palanquin is not moving fast enough. So he chastised the palanquin carrier. He said, hey, what's this? Why is this palanquin carrier? Why is this palanquin carrier not moving fast enough? So the palanquin carrier said, sir, we're not to blame. It is this new man that we've added to our team that is slowing down the palanquin. So the king began to chastise this palanquin carrier. He said, don't you understand who I am? I'm the emperor of the planet. You're making my assignment, you're adding speed, you're slowing it down. Initially, the sage Jad Bharat heard everything and tolerated it. But then, when he saw that the king was continuing to chastise him, you know, chastising an exalted devotee like Jad Bharat would be detrimental for the king's advancement. Then Jad Bharat began to speak. You know, and he spoke like a lion. Once a devotee in America asked Prabhupada, how can I be humble and distribute books? She was a female American devotee, a book distributor. So she said, Prabhupada, how can I be humble and distribute books at the same time? And in other words, when you go on book distribution, you naturally have to be a little aggressive or a little forward moving. Yes, sir, please take this book, but here's an answer to your question. So she asked Prabhupada, how can I be humble and distribute books at the same time? Prabhupada said, a devotee is a lamb at home and a lion outside. When you go to preach, you should be like a lion. And you're dealing with the Vaishnavas, then you be like a lamb. But don't be a lion at home and a lamb outside. Many of our devotees, they're lion at home. When the devotees are ready to fight. And when it comes to preach, they become a lamb. So Jad Bharat was a little similar. Lamb at home, lion outside. Jad Bharat was tolerating all the insults. But when he saw that there was need to wake up the king, to stop the king from being offensive, then he began to speak like a lion. So a devotee may be a lamb in a certain situation, but that doesn't mean when it comes to preaching he's not going to be a lion. Then when he began to preach like a lion, King Rukmini realized, this man is a sage. He has such sharp knowledge. And the king then got down from his palanquin, and he offered respects to Jad Bharat, and he begged forgiveness. He said, I'm not scared of Indra's thunderbolt. He said, I'm not scared of Indra's thunderbolt, but what I'm more scared is offending a Brahmana, a Vaishnava. And then, in the previous 11th chapter, King Grahugana was instructed by Jad Bharat. Even though he was instructed by Jad Bharat, Jad Bharat in the next chapter, King Rukmini in the next chapter, begs the king, begs the sage for further enlightenment. So what does this show? that shows that even for an exalted personality like King Rahugana, he heard the philosophy from Jad Bharat, but he wanted to hear further because he said, I have understood, but not fully understood. So please enlighten me further of the path of perfection. So in this chapter, Jad Bharat is elaborating on the instructions that he has already given in the previous chapter. So similarly, for each one of us, if we wish to progress spiritually, we need to hear this philosophy on a regular basis. We need to hear the philosophy on a regular basis. We need to read the philosophy on a regular basis. And if we hear and read on a regular basis, then this will sink into our hearts. We should not think, oh, just by hearing once, just by reading once, that's enough. Just like the Bhagavad Gita. The other day, we were lecturing on the importance of reading the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada himself said, I read the Gita every day myself. And every time you read, you'll find it fresher and fresher. Just like this morning, we were giving the class on Bhagavatam 10 Canto, Chapter 13, that describes the pastimes of Lord Brahma kidnapping Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and calves, and how Brahma kidnapping them, and then how Krishna expanded himself and defeated Brahma's plans. So over there, in the opening verses, Shukadeva Goswami says that the nature of spiritual subject matter is the more you hear, the freshness you feel. In other words, the more you hear Bhagavatam, the more you hear the Bhagavad Gita, you will find the subject matter fresher. Not that, oh, I've heard this, I've read this verse before. No, that's the nature of spiritual subject matter. So, Jad Bharat is continuing to enlighten us through the medium of King Rahugana over the importance and the process of spiritual advancement. So, what does he say? Jad Bharat is making several points in this verse that we are reading. He first says, simply by associating with exalted devotees, one can attain perfection of knowledge, and with a sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory association within the spiritual world. So, the first point that Jad Bharat is making in this verse is the importance of associating with devotees, especially exalted devotees. In the fourth canto, you read the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and you also read